Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, so yeah, I guess we gotta start. We'll definitely get to the NBA trade deadline. But we should probably start with a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. So two black quarterbacks, huh?
Wow. I didn't hear that one yet.
Making history here. First time ever. Going head to head. Hurts versus Mahomes. Yeah, pretty exciting stuff.
Is Donna Kelsey going to do the coin flip? That's the rumor.
I hope so.
I don't think that's happening, right? Is that happening?
Wait,
I don't know. That's a rumor.
That's for real?
That would be cool. I would be down for that.
I mean, I'd be down for it, of course, yeah. Why not, you know? I made the joke in the group chat, you know, I can't wait for the first trans versus trans quarterback in the Super Bowl. That'd be really groundbreaking. Yeah, it could come. Who knows? but it should be a fun game. What's the line at right now? It hasn't moved at all, right?
Eagles minus 1.5.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, it hasn't moved in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's what it started at?
No. I think it started with the Chiefs being the favorite, but after 15 minutes, it went to the Eagles.
Yeah, it was like super quick.
Well, I wonder why that is.
I guess the Sharps like the Eagles.
Well, I'm going to get to it. I'm leaning that way. I think I'm leaning Eagles. You know? I think my heart's telling me the Chiefs, but my head's telling me the Eagles.
All right, yeah. Talk to Stoner.
That's where I'm going. I don't know. I just think the Eagles are a well-oiled machine. I think I can't find a weakness in this team at all. And, where the Chiefs, like, they've had so many games this year where it's just like, I don't know, is this team that good? But they got Mahomes. You know, they got Reed. So that's kind of been, you know, Kelsey. You know, they got their core, so to speak. And I don't know. That's just kind of like, I think, where I'm going right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's tough to go against Mahomes, but Eagles defense is light years better than KC. So I it's going to suck going against Mahomes, but I'm taking Philly too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you guys.
Wow.
I know you too. Juice and Am. I know you guys, you know, you're probably thinking the same thing as me. You know, heart is saying Chiefs, head saying Eagles, or am I wrong here?
I'm not going to wake up on Monday and say, I can't believe I bet against Pat Mahomes. That's just not a scenario for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Chiefs. I also have Chiefs preseason action. So I'm kind of locked in anyway.
Right.
Plus, I absolutely loathe the Eagles. But I don't know. I honestly, if everything was equal and I didn't have any action and I was just trying to bet the game right now, I'd probably say flip a coin. But to be honest, I couldn't go against Pat Mahomes. No way. So I'm going to say Chiefs 31-24.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Juice, what do you think?
You know, everything points to the Eagles. I think they have the better running back situation. They have the much better pass rush, better defense, better corners. The wide receivers are much better. Everything points to the Eagles, but I think there's something to be said about experience and being in the Super Bowl. And this is, what, their third time in there, the last one. Speaking about the Chiefs, this is the third one.
Yeah,
the last one they lost. Andy Reid's been there. He's been in this moment before. He's lost in this moment before. And Patrick Mahomes is just, you know, I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I think he's also far, far much better than Jalen Hurts. I'm thinking the moment might catch up to Jalen Hurts. The moment might catch up to Nick Sirianni. And they just don't have the experience for it. That being said, I'm going to go Chiefs. But I will say it's a high-scoring game. I'm going to say 41-33.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Wow.
Would that
8 points?
Would that be a origami score?
Origami.
Am I what I'm talking about on FanDuel?
Oh, yeah.
Wait. Explain that. What's that mean?
So 41-33. That's kind of like a 33 is like a little weird number. So is 41.
Yeah.
So if the final score is a score that's never happened in the Super Bowl before.
Oh, right.
The odds are plus 1,800.
I love it. I think I bet that last year. I've heard that before. I needed kind of a refresher. I don't know. I'd have to check. That sounds like one, though, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think with these coaches, like, they love going for two. It's going to be hopefully a high scoring. I have a feeling it's going to be a very wacky game. Like a lot of trick plays, big plays, just like chaos the whole time.
I think we're getting a Mahomes legacy game.
A Mahomes what? Legacy game?
Legacy game.
Yeah.
I think he's dropping the hammer.
Yeah.
I think he's got a bad taste in his mouth from his last two playoff defeats, and I think Sunday he's just gonna go off.
Yeah, you know, you guys are kind of, you're convincing me.
Yeah, the only thing I do think Mahomes is gonna play amazing. The only thing I worry about is who's he throwing to besides Kelsey?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think Hardman's hurt. Tony's still banged up. So you have Valdez, Scantling, Juju. But, yeah, he doesn't have, like, those top receivers. Like, whatever. Like, he's still going to put up insane amount of yards. But I just – that defense, man. The Philly's freaking crazy with that pass rush. And they have a really top-notch secondary, too.
I know. You know, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is this is the Andy Reid revenge game, right? Has he played his former team since he's been? Probably has, right? They've played the Eagles before.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is a Super Bowl. I mean, this is pretty serious. And I forget. I don't know if anyone remembers. Did he leave on bad terms there? I think he left like his son. It was right around when his son committed suicide, right? Like he like resigned the next day or something?
No, I think he just got canned because they were like kind of like stuck in the mud for a couple of years.
Yeah, he was there a while. You know,
took
him to a Super Bowl. I feel like there was like a string of years where like they were always going to like the NFC Championship game. Like they went a few times and just couldn't get past it. Then made it to the Super Bowl, and that was a weird Super Bowl. I remember them just taking because they only lost by like three, right? Or was it seven? I don't know, but it was like a one score game, and like I remember them just like taking their time on offense, like no hesitancy at all. McNabb like threw up. Didn't he throw up on the field? He Willie Beeman it?
Yeah.
Something
like that. He's hungover.
Oh, that's the theory? He was hungover?
Yeah, he threw up in the huddle on that last drive when they were down seven.
I mean, that sounds like nerves more than hungover, no?
He really got like banged up the night before.
Why would like the night before the biggest game of your life? Like, what are you doing? Like, that's crazy.
You know, these guys, they're around. Yeah, I know.
That's wild. But yeah,
the other thing I really don't like that's in the Eagles' favor, goes against the Eagles, is they haven't beaten anybody. Meaning,
yeah.
Last week, you know, I mean, yes, I think there is something to be said that your defense is so good that you injured the quarterback. But fine, like, you had to play a team essentially for three quarters without their starting quarterback, and their backup was a fourth stringer, right? So throw that out. Before that, you played Daniel Jones, right? Okay, so fine, throw that out. The week before that, you played who was our backward? Davis Webb.
Yeah.
Right? Then before that, who was the Saints quarterback? when the Saints won that game
Red Rocket.
Andy Dalton, right?
Yeah.
The Red Rifle.
Before that, they played Dak. Fine. Cowboys won. Before that, they played Justin Fields. I don't remember if Justin Fields was the quarterback that game. He might not have been. Then it was Daniel Jones. Then before that, it was whoever the backup was for Tannehill. I don't think it was Tannehill. Then before that, Aaron Rodgers. What was that?
Malik Willis?
I don't know if it was Malik Wilson. It might have been, yeah.
But I get where you're going here, Jess. I get where you're going here.
You know what I mean? Like, they haven't played anybody. Or they haven't played a quarterback with this caliber. Meanwhile,
man, you hate the Eagles.
I do. But I'm saying, like, the AFC East is a beast, right? And Patrick Mahomes has to go in every week and play a top-tier quarterback and play better teams than the NFC has. I'm just saying that this is the easiest route that anyone has ever gotten to the Super Bowl. Maybe I think Patriots should have had an easier one, right? They beat up on Daniel Jones and the Giants, you know, they probably shouldn't have been in that game. They weren't in that game. And then you play a team that essentially doesn't have a quarterback, and now you're in the Super Bowl playing against Patrick Mahomes.
They didn't have the forward pass. The 49ers did not have the forward pass in their repertoire for the second half of that game last week. That's never happened.
It was brutal to watch.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was absolutely insane.
Yeah. So that's a great point. They haven't played a quarterback like this, and they haven't. Yeah, they might not have. They haven't really even played a team.
The thing
like
is,
this.
Like, what I would do is at the coin toss, right? Say the Eagles lose the coin toss, right? The Chiefs win the coin toss. If I were the Chiefs, I'd take the ball first, right? Score first, and have Jalen Hurts play catch
behind.
Up. Yeah,
play behind. Yep. Right? Then he's got to make the throws, and he's got to make the plays. And we'll see. We'll find out who he really is, right? And then if you're the Eagles, if they win the toss, I don't know that they're going to receive it. They might defer and trust their defense is so good, right? If Pat Mahomes scores, then again, they're playing from behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd love to see what the record is. Probably should have looked this up before, but like what each team, how they fared in domes this year. You know, I don't think that really matters that much. Again, this game's going to be so close. I mean, if you're saying it's a 1.5, that's practically a pick 'em, you know? So I really have no idea where to go now. You guys are making some great points.
The teams that have won the white jersey have won a significant majority of the time. The Chiefs are wearing white.
Ah, interesting.
Because, you know, both teams coming into the
what?
Both teams coming into the game are 16-3. Also,
what's say that again?
I said both teams coming into the game are 16-3, and they both scored the exact amount of points this year.
Wow, very even. Jesus. Yeah, this is going to be a tough one.
I just said a bunch of stuff that everybody knows already, and the spread is still 1.5 for the. You know, favoring the Eagles. So that worries me a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I didn't realize the connection between Reed and Sirianni. I mean, it's not that big of a connection, though, but you were talking about a Sirianni revenge game, Juice, because Reed...
Yeah, he was the wide receiver coach. Who was there before Andy Reed? Was it Todd Haley?
I don't even remember.
Billy? I mean, KC?
Yeah. I think it was Todd Haley.
It was
because it was Herm. Yeah. I think it was Herm and then Haley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and everyone hated Haley, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I remember.
Yep.
So Andy Reid gets there, and I think he did keep some of the staff, but he definitely fired Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni was the wide receivers coach.
Okay. So there's that. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I mean, obviously we hope it's high scoring. You know, no one wants like a 13-3 like that Pats Rams barn burner a few years ago.
I hope Nick Sirianni eats bad Chinese food the night before and has explosive diarrhea the entire game.
Oh my god,
hate that guy.
He seems like a douche.
He's definitely arrogant for sure. Definitely.
He seems like the quintessential stereotypical Eagle fan.
Oh,
right?
he's perfect for he's perfect for that city, for that team. Perfect, yeah. 100%. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Let's talk about some prop bets that we all love, since, you know, this is practically a pick 'em. And what's the over under while we're at it? Anyone have that handy?
It's gotta be.
I'll pull it up. I want to say 50.
It's gotta be in the 50s. Gotta be in the 50s.
I want to say
50s probably.
I want to say right at 50. I thought I saw
it
that.
It is. Hold on one second.
50 and a half.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
50. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going over. I have no idea. I really have no idea. But if I had to. So this is my favorite prop bet, and I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out who called this out, but obviously, Adam, we hit that Chris Jones 2+ sacks bet in the AFC Championship game, which was
legendary,
exhilarating to say the least. So the prop bet that I love is Chris Jones 2+ sacks and Hassan Reddick 2+ sacks, +3,000.
Ooh.
That's legit.
That is pretty good.
The only thing I'm scared of is, does Hurts get sacked a lot? I feel like he doesn't, because he's always on the move, and I just can't.
Not
even.
Really,
yeah,
no.
I don't know if I've ever seen him get sacked.
That's what I'm saying. I can't even picture it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, for +3,000, you know, fuck it.
Throw great
it.
Odds.
Yeah, throw a little bit on it. Why not?
Great but if odds. the Eagles, they haven't played behind, like, at all this year. So if they get behind like two scores and they have to start dropping back routinely, which he's not used to doing all the time, then you're going to have a lot of opportunities. So
that's true.
It's a good bet.
I feel like the only game I could think of where they were playing behind, remember that like weird Texans game where like the Texans were beating them? I think like in Philly.
Oh, no, I think it was the Jags.
Was it the Jags?
When they were down like 21-0.
Oh, I thought that. Yeah, well, there was that game, but there was also it was like a weird Texans game. I think
it was a Thursday night game.
Yeah, it was a Thursday night game. It might not have been in Philly.
That's right.
But like, I remember they had to come back that one. But yeah, I remember the Jags got on them like real quick. Wasn't it like a pick six or something? And then the Eagles came back and killed them. But
21-0, and then I blinked and it was tied.
Yeah. It didn't last long. And then the other bets I kind of like are Pacheco 2+ touchdowns, it's +650, and Miles Sanders 2+ touchdowns +700. Sanders did have 2 touchdowns last week. I don't know, but yeah, that's kind of what I like.
Okay, I like it.
Who wants to go next?
So I'm going. I think I mentioned to you guys before. No 100-yard receiver.
Yes, I love this one.
For +290. I think both teams spread the ball around extremely.
Yep.
So, right? A ton. So, unless there's like one of the top players gets like a 60 or 70-yard reception or a huge play, I feel really confident with that. For those odds, I think it's a no-brainer. Position to score first touchdown, tight end. +310.
Ooh.
There's not many. There's really not like bruiser running backs or wide receivers that you're going to throw fades to on the goal line. So I feel between Goddard and Kelsey, and who knows, the backup tight ends on goal line are used a lot. That's really good odds. My last one is Mahomes over 38 yards for his longest pass.
Oh man, I really like that one.
What's that at?
38. That's it.
No. But is it plus what?
Oh, no. It's even money.
Oh, it's even money. Gotcha. Yeah, that's definitely doable.
Yeah, especially if they're losing, he's going to air it out, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. But
and
yeah.
38, like, that's not even, like, a bomb. That's just, like,
yeah, it's not a huge play.
No.
Right?
That's a touch and run. Yeah.
Definitely not. Yeah, I like all of them. Who wants to go next?
I got two good ones.
Okay.
And by good ones, I mean they'll probably lose.
But whatever.
Okay, so first one, any player in the game to go for 100 yards rushing is +310.
I saw that. Yeah, I like that too.
I just love the action. Just give me the 3-1, and I'll root for any running back or quarterback or anything to go for 100 yards.
One big play.
One big run.
That's it. I think you're right there. Sanders, I think he's had a couple games this year. I think Pacheco's had a couple. So, yeah, I think both teams might try to do a little ball control, also keep the other offense off the field. So, yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
Second one, 17-1 this pays.
Oh, God.
Both teams to score a touchdown and kick a field goal in both halves.
Oh, I've seen this one. Yeah.
That's a good one. Wait a minute. That's it?
I've bet that before.
17-1. So Eagles score a touchdown and a field goal first half and second half. Chiefs score a touchdown and a field goal first half and second half. Pay 17-1.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be exact, right? Like 1-1.
Any order, any time, any order, as long as they do each in each half. It sounds really easy. I'm sure it's a lot harder if we went back and looked. It probably doesn't happen as often as you think, but
it seems
like an obvious one.
So that special, that's a game special on FanDuel, right? I've seen that. I feel like I've bet that before, like during the regular season, and. Okay. I was trying to figure out a way to look it up, see how often it happens. It's kind of hard to like Google that, but
it feels like it happens a lot.
I know, obviously. So wait, each team has to score a touchdown and a field goal in each half.
Yes,
correct.
Yes,
okay.
17-1 that pays.
I mean that. Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Right.
The touchdown seems more obvious than the field goal. I feel like the field goal is the one that's tough. Like I could see like
you want to knock the field goal out of the way right early, like
right
that first drive.
Yeah,
field goal, yes.
But you got to hold. But you got to hold both teams kick one. That's the hard part too.
Yeah.
But I love that. Yeah, I love that bet. I've seen that
those odds. Those odds. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, I love it. Great. Got any more, or are we on to juice?
Hello?
Josh?
Juice!
Yep. I couldn't hear you guys for a second. Sorry.
All good.
So, mine's really simple. I got plus 1,100, Devonta Smith first touchdown scored in the game.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Devonta.
And then plus, like, I understand what you're saying, like, and I actually think that, too. That both sides have receivers and running backs that are all over that any of them could rush or catch for a touchdown. So this kind of, you know, I feel the same thing when you were saying that nobody's going to get over 100 yards. But I wanted to narrow down on one player to get two touchdowns, and I think the same thing. Devonta Smith is plus 1,000, two touchdowns.
Ooh. Man.
So what's Devonta Smith's Super Bowl MVP odds?
I'm glad you brought that up. I tried looking for. I don't think you can bet the MVP. I couldn't find it.
No, you can. I saw
maybe
it.
It's not up yet.
If someone could find it, unless it wasn't. I checked 2 days ago because I saw Hassan Reddick was plus 3,000. You know, if he
I saw it somewhere.
If he ends see. Up like kind of going off, like if no offensive player stands out. And like the Eagles win, and like Hassan Reddick has, you know, what I'm hoping, like 2+ sacks. You know, maybe they give it to him. He's like a disruptor. Plus 3,000. But I don't know where that was. I heard someone say it on a podcast.
What about this one?
I couldn't find it in FanDuel.
I found it.
It's in FanDuel?
If you're on FanDuel, right?
Okay.
On the home screen, instead of just going to the Super Bowl, they have a column that's Super Bowl props.
Okay.
And if you go there, you could see the MVP, and they have the odds for like every, even like Chad Henne is plus 10,000 to win the MVP. But let's see, Devonta Smith, Devonta Smith 3,100 plus
3,100. Ooh,
big time!
Wow, that's really good.
I'm guessing both quarterbacks are like laying or like really small, right?
Mahomes plus 130, Jalen Hurts plus 130. All right, so okay, not bad.
I kind of like the Henne one. Like, let's say like if there's like a freak. You know, Mahomes tweaks his ankle again, and he just can't walk. He goes out. Henne comes in. He's the savior. Like, that's an auto. Like, they win the game. and he throws like let's say two touchdowns, that's like an automatic MVP, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah, but then you got to be the guy rooting for an injury.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. If you, it's not only the injury, you're rooting for the injury, and you're rooting for him to win and do really well that they'd give him the MVP.
Well, but I'm thinking like two touchdowns,
it's
like
a good
that's
lotto.
All we need.
It's a good lotto.
Yeah, if you hit that, I'm calling. You have a time machine and found the almanac.
You hit Chad Henne MVP. That's the sickest bet.
Long shot.
What about each team to score two rushing and two passing touchdowns plus 3,000?
Ooh, 30-1.
I saw that one too. Ah, that's tough.
I know, but it's just like, you're just rooting for points. It's like easy. It's like, all right, boom, one touchdown, boom. Like,
wait, say it again. Is it in each half or for the game?
No, just for the whole game. So like basically, you hope that each team gets four touchdowns and four five.
Yeah.
And it's split, passing and rushing, 2-2.
It could definitely, you know, I could see that definitely. Like you miss it by like one rushing touchdown or something. You know what I mean? Like that's like one of those.
But for 30-1, like.
Oh, I know. That. I want to bet like literally every prop bet we've just like said. I want to bet all of them. Like they're all good. Like
yeah, we need to. After this podcast, we should type them all out.
I know.
Where's Panero? Steve.
I know. I wish.
Yeah. We need a spreadsheet.
When I listen back tomorrow, or when we all listen, I'm definitely writing these down. I was gonna write them down as we did it, but I didn't get to it. But no, I love all of it. It's all good stuff. All really good stuff. But you know, knowing our luck, right? This is gonna be like, you know, it's gonna be like 17-14. Like it's just gonna be a boring like defensive game.
Did you know that this is the first time two brothers one is Jason Kelsey and the other one Travis Kelsey. They have the same mom, Donna.
Wait, time out. There's a Kelsey special. You could bet both Kelseys to score a touchdown.
I did see that. What the odds are crazy, right? It's like
it's insane. It's like 20,000 or
something. Jason Kelsey, the center, is gonna catch a touchdown. Come on.
You can bet it.
Well, there is another prop, like offensive lineman scores a touchdown. That was really, really good odds. I mean, it's happened before, but like, I don't know.
Can I ask you this? Do you guys bet the coin toss, the color of the Gatorade, and like the Rihanna first song? Do you guys do that too?
Nah. I used to do National Anthem.
National Anthem length, I like that one, yeah. Who's doing the National Anthem?
I'm dashing the under on the Anthem this year.
Who's doing it?
I don't even know.
Ooh, someone looked
that up. Not sure.
Let me
it's some lady I never heard of.
Let me see.
Bad Bunny.
Oh, I love Bad Bunny. That'd be cool. Let's see. It's Chris Stapleton.
I did know that. Okay. Interesting. Huh. So they're going a little country and then pop for the halftime show.
I hope Rihanna brings out a couple people.
Who would she bring out, I wonder? Jay-Z, I guess?
Oh, you could bet on her first song, I believe. Not on FanDuel, though.
Okay.
When's the last time she put out any music, though?
I know.
It's been a while.
That's why I was shocked by like her being on it, because I was like, she's kind of been gone for a while, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like that's kind of the Super Bowl way. They usually get like people that are like semi-watched.
Yeah, like you forgot about them. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, she probably won't bring Eminem out because he performed last year. But Jay-Z, I could definitely see showing up as a guest.
I think Jay-Z and Calvin Harris were like laying odds to be.
Calvin Harris? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm trying to think, what other big names has she performed with? Oh, Drake? Work.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
David Guetta, Calvin Harris, Drake.
Yeah, she's a lot.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to bring Kanye, but him.
that would be
but
something.
But I don't know. Somebody random. Say, I should grab somebody.
Did you say Eminem? You
said Eminem? I said Eminem, he performed last year, though. So that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Should be good. What else do we need to cover with the Super Bowl here that we forgot?
I feel like this. I don't know if it's because of where we are, and New York just hates Philly, and
Kansas City. Maybe everyone just has fatigue of seeing them every year. But I feel like it's not as crazy as like the coverage would have been if it's other teams. Or maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
No, I agree. I don't. I feel like there's not as much juice as there's been in the last few years for whatever reason. I think you're right.
Maybe because I think there's like no controversial
sport in general. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
No, sorry. Maybe because there's like it seems like there's no controversial players on these teams, right? They're all kind of like likable and maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Yeah, but you're right though. The coverage seems like a little lacking.
I think my theory is that the Giants and Jets both had such long like emotional seasons that I think there's probably a little bit of fatigue, as Josh was saying, maybe like but not like fatigue from teams. I think it's just fatigue from the NFL. I think it's just like okay, like the Giants, you know, the Giants they got that they had their year, they got smoked. The Jets had everything that had happened. They're already talking about offseason stuff. So I think that kind of takes away from the game in this area.
You're saying in the New York metropolitan area.
Yeah, the New York area.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I feel like it's tough with you know getting people excited when you got like 2 weeks in between there. I don't know.
Yes.
I think that's the issue. A lot of the times.
They got to figure out a way also to delay this 1 week so that. Everybody has off on Monday for President's Day.
I know.
Day, right?
Like, I know.
Yeah.
What a shame. Like,
they kind of figure it out. It's like, it's definitely the big, everybody, even if people, I've talked to people who don't even watch football and don't follow it, but they're having like guests at their house and they're cooking and doing stuff. Like, everybody's doing this. Why are we out? Have to like go to work tired and, you know, hungover if people drink or whatever.
I know.
I don't know.
I'm fortunate in that I work remotely, so I'll be able to stay home. But yeah, I mean, it sucks for a lot of people. Now,
do you think they should move it to Saturday?
Super Bowl Saturday? You know, obviously it's a good argument. I heard that like some states are already starting to make that Monday a national holiday. Tennessee already did it.
What do they call that holiday?
I don't know what they're calling it, but I heard Tennessee is like.
Calling it like Super Monday or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I don't like the Saturday thing, and it's really silly. It's just because my whole life it's been Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just,
if they were to do anything, I think they just got to make the Monday a holiday. I mean, this is the most popular sport. And it's not even the most popular sport. As we know, Adam, you sent that earlier. The top 100, you know, programs of 2022, which I'd seen before. I mean, what? 95%
of it?
92
of them were NFL games.
NFL games. I mean, it's by far the most popular, like anything in this country, to watch.
I think, you know, usually the typical number is around 75 million people watch the Super Bowl. I have a feeling this year it's going to be more than that. I just have a hunch because the numbers for like Thanksgiving and even Christmas Day, the NFL numbers were through the roof. The playoff ratings were the highest that have ever been. I feel like it's going to break some records. But if that many people are watching the Super Bowl, like everyone's got to go to work the next day. And I don't know. It's just...
I think the popularity is for a couple of reasons. Obviously, it's getting more popular in other countries, but also the sports betting. Like people who maybe weren't as into it before, now are like, you know, you sit on your couch and you can fucking place bets. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the NFL's gotten probably even more popular, which is an extra game. I don't know if the extra game matters, but yeah. It just gets more and more popular every year, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
NFL is king.
It really is.
It's our version of soccer. Like, the whole world watches soccer, and they go nuts over it.
Yeah.
And this is our version.
And I think the only game that does, like, actually more viewership than the Super Bowl is that Champions League final. It's every year. We didn't know the name,
but that's around the world, right?
Yes, yeah. That's
for us. It's just our country, pretty much.
Right, and that game's usually in like May or June, I think. or it's some, I think it's sometime in the summer. And it's called like the,
yeah.
Oh God, I forget the name of it, but yeah, it's, you know, Champions League final. So I think that usually does the most ratings, but Super Bowl definitely is like number two. But yeah, I love it. I mean, I know we've talked about on here, we kind of like all talked about like what our favorite sporting event is all year. And I don't know, there is something about the Super Bowl that's like special, even though I've never seen my team play in it. It's just, it's the anticipation of it leading up. It's the whole event. It's just, I don't know. It's something about it. It's kind of like special, but
I always get sad when it's done because
same.
And I'm like, oh, I don't have football now for weeks.
It's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the ultimate case of the Sunday scary.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like, oh shit, it's over. Now what?
It's over. Sundays will never be the same until September. You know?
I will say this though. I think I hit that point like maybe 2 weeks ago. Like right when the Giants were out, I'm like, oh man, I'm so into football right now, and this is great. And now it's over. And then as the weeks go by, I'm thinking, okay, now you're gonna like your attention is going to shift towards the NBA. We got the trade deadline, all this stuff. There's golf on. It's going to get nicer out. We're going to hit daylight savings. We're going to be fine, guys. We're going to make it. Hell yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Now, I usually forget about it pretty quick. Like, I think it's tough for a few weeks, but then I'm like, I don't know. Me personally, I eventually, like, move on, but I don't know.
The weather gets better.
Yeah, as the weather gets better, it's like you kind of forget about it a little bit.
And you know me, I'm going to be dialed in and doing my research on the NFL draft.
Yeah, then we got the draft, free agency to look forward to. There's still NBA, there's still golf. Like, there'll be shit on Sundays. But
hopefully Aaron Rodgers survives the 4 day in the darkness thing.
So that's 4 full days? He's just going to be in darkness.
Like, yeah, what does that mean?
No food, no water, like
is he in a cave? Yeah. Like, what's he,
he's probably got a chef in there.
Right.
Yeah, he has his like slot, right? He has a food slot for the guy to
it's really gonna be like solidary, like he's gonna be in
what is he like, is he just laying on the bed? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, did anyone see him talk about it? He was on Pat. It was on Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I saw it. It's got to be so boring, right?
Like, yeah.
I would just sleep. I mean, whatever.
Why does he need 4 days in the dark to like make a decision? Like, I don't know.
I don't think it's like for the decision, but it's supposed to be for him to like, I don't know. It's some kind of weird like mind cleanse, I guess.
Okay.
But it's really strange, man.
You guys want to try?
No.
Nah. I'm not doing that.
I'm
not my boss. No. Like, hey, I'm just gonna
Gary
cleanse and darkness. Yeah,
like, Paul, what are you doing?
Like, forget about when you're sleeping. But like, what about picture it being noon, 12 noon, middle of the day, and now we're gonna put you in complete darkness and you're wide awake. I think like 8 minutes would feel like an eternity in the darkness, in the middle of the day. You're not tired, and you're just sitting in the dark.
Yeah, freaking out. I mean, he's probably going to take some drugs, I'm sure. And yeah,
should be interesting. So have you guys ever heard of these like sleep deprivation tanks? Sensory deprivation tanks.
I think so. I feel like I've heard Joe Rogan.
It's like
talk
you go into a tank and you're like submerged in water.
Yeah. I've heard. It's like Inception, kind of.
Yeah, Adam Ang, you know, our dear friend Adam Ang, he did that a while back, and he said for like he was in it for like 3 hours, with obviously no darkness, it's lukewarm water, so you feel like you're in the womb. I don't even like go to sleep after a scary Netflix episode, so yeah, I think I'm out on that.
Well, I know the part about you sleep in that lukewarm water, and it's supposed to be like replicate the womb.
Oh,
and
right.
And after that, you don't. When you wake up, you don't know what's reality and what's not.
Nice.
I think that's what Adam said.
Nice. No thanks. But hey, listen. Everyone's got their therapeuticals, whatever they want to do. I'm not to judge, but. Yeah, I mean, the stick to Rodgers. I mean, he's each passing day, I'm more convinced he's not going to be a Jet.
Oh no,
I was thinking about this a little bit. Right? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if he wants to win a Super Bowl, if that's like his main thing, like say he had that Tom Brady mentality,
yeah,
like he should re-sign with the Packers and they should build up that team, because that division, like he can still win that division.
Absolutely.
Or if he's definitely going to get traded and he wants the easiest path to the championship, and there's no the Packers say you can go to the NFC or AFC, he should go to the Panthers then. Because that division is trash.
Yeah, you're right. That division is really bad.
So they build around that team with a new coach, Frank Reich, and then, you know, try to get into the, like, once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. You got to get in there though first. If he wants to go to the best team, it's the Jets, right?
Yeah.
And then if you want to be on the West Coast and be close to California, you want to play golf, then you go to Vegas, I guess.
Yeah. That seems like the most obvious at this point. You know, all the Raiders fans at the, what was that, Pebble Beach, were telling them, you know, to go there. And Devontae, you know, come to my neighborhood or whatever the heck. Like, or Devontae's going to buy him a house or, I don't know, some shit like that. So, but I don't know. Or he could retire. Who knows? It really could go either way. You're convinced?
He's a Jet.
You're convinced?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, so Sauce, he recently said, I know a little something about something. I think he was.
He said he was just trolling.
Okay, but I think if anything, he was probably referring about Carr, because they were on the same Pro Bowl team, right? So maybe.
Yeah.
Or Devontae was on the same Pro Bowl team too, so he might have heard.
I feel like Carr is going to go to the NFC South.
Yeah, he's going to the Saints, right? That seems like it's all going that way. Yeah.
Or Carolina, Atlanta, Tampa Bay. He's got, you know, all those teams need a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
I'm reading something now. I guess Simmons had another podcast today talking about it, and he's like, the Jets are the move. It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, with Schrager. I listened.
And Schrager agreed, right? And so all these guys, I trust like Schrager a lot. He really thinks it's going to happen. A lot of other guys are being like very kind of dismissive about it, like Rappaport. And he's like, there's a lot of things that have to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but they're going to get someone.
Oh, yeah. Sure. They'll get someone. But, yeah, Simmons and Schrager both thought Jets was the best fit. But at the end of the day, it's what, you know, what does Rodgers want to do? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I can even see, like, if they don't get Rodgers or Carr, right, I could see them just going absolutely all out for Lamar Jackson, like 4 first-rounders and 300, you know what I mean? Something crazy.
Something
like,
crazy. Know, like desperate.
Yeah, like absurd, where Baltimore would be like, you know what? All right, we have to do this. Like,
yeah.
Which scenario would you prefer as a Jet fan? Oh,
man. I mean, if Rodgers, like, it's literally what? 1 or 2 years, right?
You're probably getting nothing. 2 years.
Yeah. Like, so you still don't have your quarterback for the future. Carr, you're kind of like, is he your future guy? Like,
yeah.
Maybe 3 or 4 years? It's, Lamar would be the guy, but it's so, I don't know, man. It's just why can't
it might be
the guy one time.
it might be for me, Jimmy G at this point. And I know the health concerns, he's hurt a lot. But when he's healthy, I mean, he's a very serviceable quarterback. And
he wins,
he's familiar with Salah and co. He's gorgeous. He's got he's got the last name. That would be great for, you know, the Swamp. Garoppolo.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Bison.
I don't think Jimmy G would be good for the Jets.
Well, explain why. Tell me why. Convince me otherwise.
I don't think he was that good in San Francisco. Like they won, but like I think as we saw this year, like I don't know how much the quarterback even mattered. You know what I mean? Like they're just a really well coached team. They got a really good system there, and it's kind of plug and play. It kind of reminds me of like it would be like Neil O'Donnell. Like when Neil O'Donnell came to the Jets and everyone was like, hey, he went to the Super Bowl and then he got to the Jets and it was Neil O'Donnell.
Or like Trent Dilfer, you know, just one of these
like
serviceable
whatever
quarterbacks.
Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly, like, but I don't know. I think any of those other guys, like I think Carr or any other guy you listed, I think Jimmy G's probably closer to the bottom of that list than the top. Like probably the bottom guy, I would think.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, any of those four guys, I'd be happy with at this point. That even Carr,
yeah.
You know, I know, I know Carl was like, but you know what? Again, anything's better than what we had going this year. And I definitely don't want a Brissett or a Minshew. That just doesn't get me excited.
That'd be the only scenario where I'd be really mad going into the year. It's Ryan Tannehill, Minshew, Brissett.
Or Tannehill even. Yeah, yikes. You know?
Yeah, no Carr had like 5,000 yards. Like, not this year, but the year before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that long ago.
No, I know. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see. Another thing, you know, sticking to Simmons and Traeger, I was listening today. They're still not convinced that Brady's retired.
Oh, come on.
There's no way this guy fucking comes back again.
He's done.
That'd be so embarrassing.
I think they think, oh no, well, Simmons thinks that because he told Fox that he would come on and be the broadcaster in 2024.
Yeah.
But, and they're like, oh, what's he doing in this year? You know, maybe he's not sure. And maybe the right team wasn't there this year. That's why he retired. I just think he wants to – anything. He's competitive, right? Anything he does, he wants to be the best at. I bet you he's going to put in a year of work trying to – well, first of all, take time off and be a retired human being.
Yeah.
And, you know, enjoy life probably for a little bit. But then I bet you when he comes back, he's going to take it seriously and try to be the best he can be at broadcasting. Like, I don't know if he's going to do every game every week and travel and do all that.
Right.
But whatever he – with Fox – even if they have him, yeah, I think he's just going to be really good at it, you know?
Yeah.
He'll put in the work.
You think he's going to be outside Giselle's house with the boombox?
Yeah, I'm rooting for it. I don't know. I want it to happen.
Yeah.
I kind of think Brady's going to end up on a panel with, like, you know, like the stray hand deal. Like, I feel like he's going to be one of those guys throwing around the football.
I think that's what Simmons and Traeger were saying. Well, one thing they mentioned was, and this was pretty classy of Brady, was I guess he didn't want to impede on Greg Olsen, who's been like kind of killing it. He's really good, I think. And they're both doing, him and Burkhardt are doing the Super Bowl. So how would that look, right? Like Brady's like, oh, I'm just going to take this guy's job next year. But that I think they did mention he'd be like maybe... Yeah, like the pre and post game, like that sort of thing. But I don't know. I don't know where he's the best fit. This guy's like, you know, like the GOAT, so to speak. You know, it's like kind of like where is he the best fit? Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
And, you know, a station that has – see, that's the thing. Nobody has seats for these, like, roles. But I think Peyton and Eli are really good, too.
They are.
You could polish them up.
They
and
are.
Put them in a booth, that'd be great.
That would be really cool, right? Like the Manning brothers, like actually doing, like not like the thing they do on Monday night where they're just like bullshitting, like an actual.
No, a real broadcast.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm here for it. But like, how many slots are open at this point, right? I mean.
Yeah, not many.
Not many. It's tough. There's so many good broadcasters now. I don't know what to do. Romo, so Paul and I were talking about this when we were watching the game, you know, the AFC Championship. Something's, like, weird with his voice, right? Like,
wait, Tone, give us a, please give us a Romo.
Here we go, Jim! it's going crazy! No, his voice wasn't like, anytime he wasn't yelling, he had this, like, I don't know, like, Jim, like, it was like this real like he's like smokes like 10 cigars a day, like almost. I can't describe it. It was real. I don't know, Paul. What were you saying? Like, you noticed it, right? Like,
yeah, like he drank a gallon of bourbon for breakfast and ate cigars.
Yeah,
for
he just sounded like aged, like a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it was in my head, but he just sounded weird.
Yeah, he sounded like a Vegas lounge singer.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I think he came on and he struck gold, right? Because he came on and gave the fans a quarterback view by calling the plays or explaining the defenses or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he got this $18 million deal and then said, all right, I don't need to do anything anymore. I'm good. And he doesn't do anything. He just shows up and screams.
Yeah. Who's the guy on online? Joey Millonaro. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? He does all the good impressions.
Yeah.
Oh, he did the perfect Romo. Just like, ooh, he might be, you know, like all the little like things he does. It is kind of like,
that was good.
Yeah, it was so good. It is a bit much. But yeah, no, there's a lot of great. I mean, I love Aikman and Buck. You know, there's so many good. I wish Al and Al should probably retire. Al Michaels, but you know, obviously Collinsworth is kind
of. Al and Tony Dungy was an absolute attack on humanity.
Twitter was amazing during that game.
Like, I can't believe that.
Everyone was bugging out how bad they were.
Yeah, they ruined the game.
That game was amazing, and they were just so bad. Like, no excitement at all. It was terrible. Now, Tirico and Collinsworth is great.
I can't believe Tony Dungy was an NFL coach and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, the stiffest human being on planet Earth.
He's got, like, 11 kids. Something like that, right?
Yeah, he's
got
to be the least. He's got to be the least inspiring person I've ever seen.
He has 11 kids.
Something like that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like hold on, let me check.
Yeah, he's awkward on TV. Very awkward.
Yeah. How many kids does Tony Dungy have? Oh, 7. I'm sorry, I overestimated there.
I mean,
That's still a lot. Yeah. Still a lot.
Anything over 3 is like, you know,
chaos.
Well, he's definitely pro-life, big time religious guy. So yeah, there's that. Should we anything else NFL, or should we move on to the NBA trade deadline?
Yeah.
Adam, you have the floor. Speak your Kyrie.
Should we do the Kyrie timeline real quick?
Yeah, yep. 100%.
Kyrie, Wojnarowski tweets out, you know, the clean sweep. The Nets get KD, Kyrie, DeAndre Jordan, that whole bit.
Yep.
Kyrie played 20 games that first year, gets injured, refuses treatment from the team doctor, tries to play through the injury, ends up missing the rest of the season. They go dark for COVID. So they decide they're going to come back in Disney, obviously, and Kyrie opts out of the bubble. So he chooses not to play. Year 2, they mortgage the future for Harden. Kyrie sits out for 2 weeks voluntarily, leave of absence. What were they calling it? A sabbatical.
Sabbatical, yeah.
Okay. So they catch him in the middle of COVID out at a party for his sister's birthday. That turns into a thing. He finally comes back. The team looks like they have it together. He lands on Giannis's foot. He misses the rest of the playoffs. The Nets lose. Year 3, he comes in to the season with Kevin Durant and James Harden, all 3 unvaccinated. All 3 do not want to get the vaccination. Kevin Durant, James Harden both decide, let's do this for the title. Kyrie says, no, I'm good. Okay. Season falls apart. James Harden basically requests a trade because he doesn't think the Nets are serious because they're not holding Kyrie accountable. Okay, we go into the offseason. Kyrie wants a 5-year max extension after he declined the extension right before the season where he sat out. The Nets decide not to do it. He threatens to leave to LA for the mid-level exception before opting into his contract and promising to honor out his time with the Nets. We get 5 games into the year, and he tweets a Amazon link to a book which states that the Holocaust never happened. Okay, doesn't apologize for that. Then does apologize for it. Ends up missing 10 games. Finally apologizes, comes back, and just rips the league to shreds for a month and a half. The Nets win 18 out of 20. Everything's going well. KD gets hurt, and now Kyrie demands a trade. I think the Nets were, like, super relieved when that happened. And now Kyrie is a Dallas Maverick. And as Mikhail Prokhorov said, when Jason Kidd tried to flew the coop and take over the team, please don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. this was the worst thing that ever happened to the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving. There's nothing else to say. He's now torn down 3 franchises and left them in complete shambles. Soon to be a 4th. I feel bad for Jason Kidd. I feel bad for Mark Cuban. Good luck, Luka Doncic, with this guy. I don't think there's any hope for him. And that's all I got on Kyrie.
Ooh, I need a cigarette. I need a cigarette.
That was epic. Epic. Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, I need to kind of fan myself here. That was Stephen A. Smith could take a flyer from that one. That was a great rant. Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know if I, you know what? Like, I don't even know if I got it all. I feel like I missed stuff.
Nope, you nailed it.
Even like when you mentioned James Harden, right? They have James Harden, and he doesn't want to be there anymore because it's not only that, like, the Nets weren't serious. It was just like all the shenanigans of Kyrie Irving and how it affected KD and the rest of the team. Because Harden was playing games. He played himself in shape and
yeah.
He was ready to roll. He was ready to go. And you have
absolutely.
And because he wants out, then it's a domino effect because then you got to trade him now to Philly. And then now you have Ben Simmons, who's virtually untradeable.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know what? I think KD deserves some blame here also because, like, hey, man, like talk to your guy. Like this is the guy who you basically hitched yep. the back end of your legacy to. And you're just allowing him to just act like this when, you know, this is going to be how people perceive you from now on. Like, nobody gives you real credit for winning those titles in Golden State. I'm sorry. They just don't.
No.
So, like, as good as the Nets are – as good as Kevin Durant is, and he's obviously one of the best players that's ever lived, like, he's never really won a title without that super team. So, unless he does, I don't know if, like, he's going to be viewed in the light that I think he deserves to be based on his ability.
Right, right.
And he could blame Kyrie for that. If he hitched his wagon to Paul George or Kawhi, or maybe not Kawhi, but like any other superstar basically in that free agency, Jimmy Butler, like there's a million guys, but he hitched his wagon to Kyrie and now he's got to live with it.
Yeah, I'd love to know what really is the behind-the-scenes relationship with them, because it seemed like KD had his back in most of all that, believe it or not. But like after this latest one, like is he on the side of Kyrie or is he on the side of the Nets? Like, no one really knows, right? Like,
I think we're going to find out tomorrow. I think if Kevin Durant gets traded, I think he's going to be on the side of Kyrie. And believe it or not, like, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but there's a strong faction of Nets fans that still blame the front office for this.
Oh my
like,
God.
I don't really understand. Like it's their fault. They should have maxed Kyrie. Like, could you imagine giving this guy another 4 years, $200 million? After those are the 4 years that he gave the Nets where he played half the time and sabotaged what should have been a dynasty or whatever you want to call it. At least a title in there. One.
Yeah.
The idea that you want to give this guy another 4 years, it's just bananas. It's crazy.
And I strongly believe, I think at the end of this, it's going to be unwarranted, but Sean Marks is going to lose his job, and he's going to be the hottest front office. Like, I, as a Knicks fan, I would take him in a heartbeat on the Knicks over anybody we have, but I think he's ultimately going to lose his job. And another person to blame is Joe Tsai, right? He's new at this and kind of doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and now he's going to be very experienced, but I think he does clean house.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you're right. If you're a Nets fan, like that's to me, that's the worst case scenario would be letting Sean Marks go, especially considering everything. Like even this offseason, like KD held the team hostage with the trade thing, so all he had was a couple minimum slots. He signed Yuta Watanabe, who was leading the NBA in 3-point shooting for most of the season so far. He signed T.J. Warren on a minimum deal. Like both of those guys, like those are two huge pickups. Like. I don't know. He's been Edmund Sumner, another minimum guy who's been playing really well. Like he nails most of these minimum signings. He nails the draft, even though he's never had a lottery pick as a Net. He nails these draft picks. He got Claxton was a second round pick. Cam Thomas was the 28th pick in the draft. Like he's been a great GM, I think, in his time. He's able to find talent in weird spots. Like Dinwiddie was a forgotten guy. Joe Harris, nobody knew about. Like to lose this guy is going to really hurt. So I hope they figure it out either by trading KD for some young guys and starting over or going the other way and getting all in and getting another superstar to appease KD. One or the other.
Yeah.
Well, if you had to guess on it, you think he gets moved tomorrow?
I think it's going to go Summer. One of two ways. I think it's going to be like a massive, massive overpay like Claxton, Cam, and 5 draft picks or something like that for a Siakam type or Kevin Durant gets traded. That would be my guess. One Phoenix. Or the other. I don't think there's going to be an in-between.
To Phoenix for...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Phoenix for what? Eight? I think and a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, I would think Phoenix for Bridges and you know, like maybe like 3 picks and 3 swaps or something like that.
Okay.
I think he goes in the summer. I think he stays out.
Yeah, I think if they don't win it this year, he's gone. You know? Go somewhere else and figure it out.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is, like, the Woj stuff, like, every tweet I feel like gets worse for the Nets. Like every time I hear him talk, it's like, yeah, they're not trading him. And it's like, then after that, it was like, yeah, so yeah, they're really talking and they're trying to work this out. And then it was like, yeah, they're trying to find to see if there's a guy out there, but it's really hard right now. It's a seller's market. And I'm like, okay, so each one's progressing towards the tweet where it ends up like, hey, after a long conversation with Rich Kleiman and Kevin Durant, it looks like the Nets and the partnership is going to end with the boardroom crew or whatever, however they decide to announce it.
Yeah.
That seems like where it's progressing.
I just picture like Durant. He's probably got some like high rise, some like beautiful multi-million dollar high rise in Brooklyn. He's standing on his balcony, smoking a backwood. Rich is in the other room on the phone. Like, KD, what are you thinking? What are you thinking, man? He's like, hold on, two more hits. You know, just like, not even worried about it. Like, it's insane. It's insane. I think the weirdest part about the Kyrie one, the Kyrie saga, believe it or not, was what year was that? When there was that 2 weeks where he just like decided not to play. Like he wasn't even injured. Like it was just nothing.
Yeah, that was his second year. That was the first year he got hurt, missed the whole year. Then the second year, he just missed 2 weeks for no reason.
For no reason.
Steve Nash had no idea where he was.
Yeah, no one knew. It was like literally for no reason at all. I was like, what?
I think he was like hurt by the is that when they had the George Floyd killing? And then there was a lot of protesting. And then he just like, he didn't say anything. He just went dark for 2 weeks.
Well, George Floyd, happened over the – no.
It was 2020, right after COVID.
That was 2020.
But that was in May, like during the playoffs. I thought it was like in the middle of like the regular season he did that, the 2 weeks.
It was the regular season. It was like
I forgot when it was, but like was it before
COVID? It was
something
along those lines. They saw he was on like a town hall meeting.
Yes.
And then also at like his sister's birthday party.
I remember the town hall meeting. Yeah, he was on like a city. It was like a city, New York City, like what's her face from Sex and the City was on there. Miranda. I forget her real name.
Yeah.
Like it was just like random. He was just like there, like meeting with city leaders or something. Like what? Like what are you doing?
I remember also maybe I think it was because of the vax thing. He was in New Jersey and he practiced with Seton Hall one time.
Yep.
Oh my god, it's unbelievable. But yeah, you know, good luck to him and Luka. They tip off tonight, right?
Yeah, they play at 10. The thing that stinks too is like he has no self-awareness too. He gets on the podium in his introductory press conference in Dallas, and in very kind words, he kind of just blames everything on the Nets.
Yep.
100%.
Very strange.
Yeah.
I think the first thing he said was, "It feels good to feel wanted." Okay, bro.
Yeah, said he's a great leader. I possess great leadership. Like what?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe the most delusional athlete we've ever seen. It's him or Russell Westbrook, which we'll get to him.
Adam, what were you saying about Game 7, the championship that he won?
Yeah. Okay. So I think me and Josh had this conversation earlier. I kind of think the fact that he was a guy who was on a Cavs team that was winning 20 games a year. I think the worst thing that happened to Kyrie Irving as far as the rest of his career was beating the Warriors and beating that team that won 72 games, and then the way he played in those three games, and then him hitting that shot to win that series. Because after that point, there's nobody that could tell him anything, because he hit the biggest shot against the best team on the biggest stage. And that was like, okay, okay, that was it. And then after that, he's like, okay, I'm done with LeBron. I'll get my own team. And then that didn't work out. He's like, well, this didn't work out. But still in the back of his mind, he's like, I'm a champion. I hit this shot. I did this. Like the ego at that point, like even like when they hire Nash, he's like, oh, we don't have a coach. I don't believe in that or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. I just don't think... I think if he had gone through the trials and the tribulations, like I'll give you an example, Steph Curry, a guy who, had an ankle injury. He went through the trenches with those guys. They took their lumps like against the Spurs. They had to come back. I think his career goes a different way if he has those tribulations, rather than going from a 20-win team to all of a sudden he's in the championship game and he plays the way he played in that series. It was almost like the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you make a great point. And then I think also a big influence was after they beat the Warriors that summer, Durant, he leaves his situation, goes to another team, and who knows, he probably got in Kyrie's ear. He's like, yeah, you should leave. Go do your own thing, like I am. Even though I wouldn't call Durant, you know, going to the Warriors his own thing. But but I gotta think, you know, maybe that had some influence too. And maybe now Durant's like regretting like teaming up with him at this point.
I remember, you know, that day when they both signed with the Nets, I was like, there's a point of, I always talk about this. I went walking along the river and I was contemplating jumping in. It was one of the saddest days for me. And then, like, once you get over the sadness, then you're just angry. And I remember just thinking, and I think all of us said the same thing, like, we turned to, well, this isn't going to work out for the Nets. They're both crazy people, as if, like, we didn't want these same crazy people playing for our team. I mean, we all said, yes, this was going to happen. But to be honest, now, like, sitting here years later, I think the Nets don't deserve this. Like, they did everything pretty much right, except for... maybe they spoiled them too much. They gave them too much power and say and how they should run the organization. But Adam, I'm sorry, man. You guys don't deserve this. This fucking sucks, bro. You guys should have had one chip at least.
I think any team would have done what the Nets did.
Yeah. Right?
Just about.
Yeah, anybody would.
Any GM does that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
And but there's a million what ifs. Like, also, if you simulate it 100 different times, maybe there's 99 better results than this. This is like the worst possible result. Like, maybe they trade for a different guy other than Harden. Also, maybe they trade for Jrue Holiday ahead of time instead of Harden. Maybe, you know, maybe they trade for Gobert. Maybe things go differently. I don't know. So, who knows?
Considering the expectations with everything when they first signed, is Kyrie the worst NBA free agent signing ever?
I think he's got to be, right?
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this.
He only played half the games. He sabotaged the season. He sabotaged four seasons in a row, basically.
I've never seen anything like it.
And again, it's not even just – I bring it back up again. Like, it's not even just that he didn't play and he caused this huge rift and misbehave. Like, his actions had a huge domino effect. Because
the ripple effect,
trade all your young assets and picks – and you get James Harden, fine, boom. Then that doesn't work because of Kyrie, and now you trade him to Ben Simmons. Well, Ben Simmons has like 4 years and what, $130 million?
Yeah, that's
and he's a nutcase. Nobody's gonna win him. Nobody, like, I wouldn't trade.
He's got
much for him.
No trade value. I saw the tweet.
Zero
trade value. It's remarkable. Jeez, you made a good point, because I'll never forget where I was when you know, Woj tweeted, you know, I was on my way back from Rhode Island. I was in a wedding in Rhode Island, and we're on the highway, and I saw the tweets come through. And obviously, I was incredibly jealous and upset because we were hopeful for the Knicks. But deep down, I really did. And I'm not just saying this because it didn't work out. I really never thought it would work out, but I never in a million years thought it would be this fucking crazy. Like, I never thought it would get this nuts. We also didn't know, like, there'd be a, you know, pandemic, but...
You thought the team would maybe self-implode, but maybe lose in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, exactly. Like, or the finals.
They weren't going to win the championship.
Yeah.
But I didn't think this, man. This is like... There were
so many weird... Like, from day one, it was so weird. Like, I was at the first game when Kyrie played and he had the 50-point game.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the last guy they bring out is Kevin Durant. And they give him this big intro, like, he's in the starting lineup, but he's in street clothes. And then, you know, Kyrie comes out and he scores. And then this is in the microcosm of the whole era. Kyrie comes out, he scores 50 points, he hits three-pointers, he makes layups, he's pointing at people, he does, like, a barrel. At the end of the game, it's a one-point game, they're down one, he does, like, a barrel roll, unbelievable play, and he misses the shot, and they lose the game to the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not, like, a microcosm of everything. Like, like, it was, like, the loudest bang every night, and then for this. So, for nothing. Like, no end result. So, it is what it is.
Ugh. Crazy. And so we still have another, what time's the deadline tomorrow? Is it 3 or 6?
I think 3 p.m.
Is it 3 p.m.? Okay. So, yeah, so we're we're about, you know, to 12, 18 hours away. So, yeah, it's been, I mean, other than the Kyrie trade and the trade right before this podcast, which, what is it? So, Russell Westbrook and the 2027 lightly protected first round pick to the Jazz for Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley. And then Mike Conley and a second rounder to Minnesota. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
So three-teamer.
So Lakers did very well.
Lakers did.
I thought so too.
Yeah. And D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers. So they get Russell, Vanderbilt, and Beasley. So yeah, not very good for the Lakers. Russell Westbrook is going to be bought out. We're all speculating either the Heat or the Paul. Who'd you say? The Bucks.
I think Milwaukee would be a great fit, but I saw online that the Clippers are going to be a big contender for him.
Also saw Chris Haynes said Chicago is in the mix.
Chicago? Yeah. Hmm.
Why would they even want him?
I know. That's like a team that's a team just going like nowhere. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's up with that team. They're so mid. It's just kind of like, I don't know. Obviously, the Knicks doesn't look like they're going to do anything. I mean, do we see anything else in this trade deadline? I don't think so, right?
Like,
I think the Nets are going to do something big.
So you think the Nets are the last, like, that's the last big trade or only trade left, really, out there? Siakam or KD?
I think a lot of these teams, I think that the asking price is what it is, but I think everything's going to drop tomorrow. And I think you might see. Like, I think you might see guys like DeRozan, Zach LaVine, maybe shake loose. I think you might see some of those Toronto guys shake loose. And I think watch out for Orlando, too. I feel like they got a little bit of a logjam there. I think I could see them trading some guys.
Huh. Okay. And then the Knicks might get they're in on Josh Hart. That's the big move.
If anything, they're just going to get, like, a role player.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. I got to think Rose, Fournier, like these guys are going to definitely be dealt. Obi, I don't know at this point, but he's like, Cam Reddish. Like, they got to get rid of Cam Reddish, right? Like,
yeah, do him a favor. Do him a favor and get rid of him.
But, like, what are we getting back for him? Like, couple second rounders? Or are we actually getting a player? Like, I don't know.
Future second.
Yeah.
It was crazy, though. I was listening to Han and Bart Scott, and they were saying, like, you know how Toronto was talking about three first round picks for OG, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, that would be for a legit star, multiple first round picks.
Oh yeah.
Now it's for OG. a role player starter. Like, really? It's just the buyers have no leverage right now. So it's really tough.
Juice, that's a great pick.
I just sent a picture.
I saw it.
Yeah. Leon Rose on Snow White sleeping.
That's fucking amazing.
I think the Knicks are going to get Bojan Bogdanovic. That's my prediction. I have no reason to think that. I just feel like that's who they're going to get.
I heard they're looking for a haul for him, the Pistons. That was the latest rumor.
See, this is the thing. Yeah, like all these, every player, a haul.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think they were talking about before, like a couple days ago, that the Jazz wanted first round picks for Vanderbilt and Beasley. They ended like really? Like, they ended up just giving them away, but, like, come on.
I know.
That's what I mean. Like, I think tomorrow everything's going to loosen up a little bit because now we're by the deadline, and it's like, do you really want to stay with these guys? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll definitely see some trades, like Jakob Poeltl, supposedly the Raptors. Like, you're going to see some stuff. I'm just wondering, are we going to see anything, like big? I mean, OG's got to be moved at this point, right? Like, he's made it pretty clear OG. He doesn't want to be there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are the Knicks gonna shock the world and do something big? Probably not. But
I don't think so. I think the Knicks are still, and Leon's gonna catch a lot of flack for this, but I think probably they're gonna wait until the summer to see what shakes out. What happens with Karl Anthony Towns? Is Devin Booker really happy in Phoenix if they don't get KD and all that stuff? I think that's probably where they go.
Yeah.
Maybe they can call Oklahoma City and see if they still want to keep Shy. You know, I don't know. I don't really see. I have not been impressed with Leon Rose in this front office.
So I haven't either. But, like, what if the Knicks don't? What if they miss the playoffs? Like, Is Leon and Thibs like lasting the summer to the summer? You know,
they're not going to play us.
I mean, I don't think so either. But like, you never.
But you mean like miss the? You mean like just get in the play in or?
No, I think they get in the play in. But let's say they get in the play in, they lose. Like that's a complete. That's a disappoint. That's a real disappointment. Yeah. You know, like
I'll say this. I don't think there's a single. I think I've said this before. I don't think there's a single team that we could beat in a 4-game series.
That's so what I'm saying.
If they make the playoffs, they'll pat each other on the back because maybe they won 42 games and covered the over or something.
Yeah,
but
I think they could beat Cleveland. That's it.
Cleveland.
I don't think they could beat Cleveland in a 4-game series.
Yeah, I don't know. Cleveland just seems a lot better. I don't know.
They beat them. They've beat them two times already this year.
No, I know. I know.
I think they're a good matchup.
The Knicks, I still don't know what they. I mean, like they're a 500 team. I don't know. It's tough to say. I know.
They have to figure out a way to consolidate this roster because even the guys that you go after, right? You've heard Josh Hart, you've heard OG, you've heard Bogdanovich, but like they play the same positions as RJ Barrett and maybe Quickly and like all these other guys. It's all very similar positions. So somebody's got to go to create time for these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if they are looking to move RJ or if that's just the fans, like, just being annoyed with him.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think it's just the fans being kind of like annoyed with him.
If they didn't just give him that contract, then yeah, they would. But
right.
I don't think they're going to give up on giving that so quickly.
They'll move him if it's for a big time player, but they won't move him just to get like OG in here or anything like that. No, right. It would have to be like a Shy type or a Booker type.
Yeah.
If I was the Knicks, I'd be in on that Siakam conversation.
I don't know why they're not.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense for them.
Where do you play him though?
That's the thing.
I think he could play 3-4, small ball 5. Like, I don't know. Depends on what goes out. You got to figure RJ goes out now in that trade.
Yeah, he goes back home to Toronto.
Yep.
Yeah, so I would just plug him into RJ's slot if you're gonna make that trade.
Breaking news.
Ooh. The Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Oh,
news.
Wow.
Breaking
news. We manifested it. Josh Hart to the Knicks.
Yep.
There we go.
For what?
For what?
Sources tell ESPN it's Woj. Yeah, there's no details yet.
Ooh, I love like it a lot. That's a big I love that.
I love
Snow
it.
Snow White broke up, huh?
Yeah,
I like Josh Hart. I think that was good.
Give me
all the Villanova players all the time.
Right? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He gets to go back with Jalen. He's a great rebounder for a guard.
Yeah, for his position, right?
Yeah, can play D. I like it.
8 rebounds a game.
That's crazy. Good. It's that many?
Good move.
Yeah, you don't.
That's good.
Yeah,
wing defender.
Wing defender.
You shoots 50%.
And
good, he's only 27. He's young.
And a good person, like good character guy. Like I think he like teammates like him. He's kind of funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Great move. I like
all
it.
Right.
Let's see what goes out.
Cool. Yeah, well let's see what goes out for him. Maybe a couple second rounders. I don't know. All right.
You know, if I'm the Knicks, right, and I'm not saying like you have to be creative in the sense, and I don't see this in Leon, right? For some reason, they have too many ties where the relationships are like too close that you can't do business. Meaning, like Leon Rose and Tibbs are too close for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like Leon Rose and the whole brass, and they treat Julius Randle like Patrick Ewing. Like all that is nonsense to me. Like if you really want to be creative, if you look at it and you say, okay, the Knicks are a team that is an 8 seed, right? But they could be a 10 seed or whatever, right? If you have Julius Randle playing at an all-star level, but you know he's not getting you anywhere, like maybe that's when you trade him, right, at his highest value. And then that opens up the spot to play Obi, and then you see what you have, right? You see what it is.
I mean,
or like if Tibbs isn't working out, let's see what Johnny Bryan is before he goes to, you know, the Celtics or somewhere else and like kills it. Yeah, you know, like I'm not saying these are the moves to make, but you got to be creative somehow and figure out the roster and what you have. And I still don't know. I don't know.
Well, I love both of those. I mean, I think you're right on the money. This is what I've been like praying for. But yeah, you're right where they're too tight. Leon and Thibs and you know, so nothing's going to happen with Thibodeau unless something happens with Leon. And Leon and Julius are too, and Worldwide West, you know, the Kentucky connection and all that crap. You know, it's just like, it's too much shit. Yeah, it's too much family.
Too much incest.
Yeah, too much. Yeah, exactly. Jalen Brunson. Oh, look, your dad's here. I've known you since you were a kid. It's just like, it's too much of that going on, you know, instead of like actually prioritizing like talent and winning games. But yeah.
Speaking of sell high, Josh, you mentioned this earlier. Cam Thomas, 3 straight 40-point games. What would he fetch?
Yeah.
Yes, now's the time. Trade him.
So I was thinking about it. LeBron James, he just broke the record, all-time scoring record, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and never thought it'd be broken. And if anyone else is going to break it next, it's Cam Thomas, right? I mean, he's in line.
So if he keeps up his pace from the last three games, they said he'd break it by age 30. So. By the way, they just said Reddish and a protected one for...
Ah, there we go. So, okay.
All right. Can someone tell me how this protected one...
They have three of them. Nick said three of them.
So really, it could be just... Let's just say it's the Wizards, right? We have the Wizards' protected pick. Let's just say that's the one that they gave away. If the Wizards make the playoffs and do really well, we would get their pick, and then essentially that would go to Portland. But let's say they stink, then there is no... The Washington would just keep their pick. So then all Portland would get is Cam Reddish.
In a way, like some of these like protected picks, they're kind of like Monopoly picks, right? They're like make-believe.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's when they say like OG Anunoby, like three picks. It's not really three picks. It's probably one pick and
two protected.
Like a low probability of a second or third. I don't know.
It's almost like some of these picks are just Monopoly money.
Yeah. That's what Paul
said. Like they never convey. They just make the trade look good. Like, oh, these two picks go here. Now we're going to send these two picks out. Like this Knicks trade might have passed through four different teams already.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
It reminds me of the NFL. Like Patrick Mahomes. The headline is Patrick Mahomes got a $500 million deal. But he's going to restructure that so many times. And he's never going to see the 10th year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not
true. Yep.
He's not getting that money. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. all right. So Knicks actually made a move. I don't know if there's going to be more, but, you know, maybe they had another bench player. I don't think they're going big game hunting, to be honest.
He better play. I think they're going to have to make a move because Reddish was on the bench already. He wasn't getting time. So he's going to eat into someone's.
This probably means Fournier's gone. But Fournier only played the other night because someone else was out. Was that RJ who was out?
He kind of won that game against Philly.
I know.
Yeah. The one night stand.
The one night stand. Yeah. So,
breaking news also. I got one more. Sean Don just added Cam Reddish to his fantasy team.
Might be a good move. Might be a good move, actually.
That's I like it.
Big up to the Don. What else? What else is on the block? I mean, Siakam, OG. Is there anyone else that might get dealt? A KD, maybe? You know,
what about John Collins?
Oh, yes. Will John Collins finally get dealt? Like, Jesus. It's been dangled for years now, I feel like.
I've had the jersey in the cart, the Nets John Collins jersey, since 2019. So just please make it happen. I got the PayPal ready. I got the digits in there. Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. You know? I'm trying to think what else. Chris Paul. Wasn't Chris Paul supposed to get traded? That's all the speculation.
I don't think that's happening.
I thought I saw someone say, like, what about we might see one this week.
What about LaVine?
Yeah, LaVine. That's another big name. DeRozan.
What about Zach?
I heard one of those two on guys. The Low Post podcast that Chicago, even though they should be sellers, they're not, like, super aggressive about it, so it's kind of like they're looking to I think the word was they'll trade one but not all three.
Okay.
So I think that's where they're at.
So keep either Vucevic or LaVine or DeRozan or LaVine.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. So one guy goes.
One guy goes.
One of those three. Yep.
Okay. I mean, they still kind of need a point guard. They don't really have, who's it, Kobe White? Who's like their point guard?
Could be Westbrook.
Could be Westbrook, yeah.
Maybe Westbrook.
Yeah, maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe he is a fit there. I have no idea. That team, I just don't see it going anywhere. But, does Bradley Beal get dealt for the deadline here?
Not with that money.
That's true. Yeah, definitely not.
I wouldn't.
I want Porzingis.
KP, Juice, I'm kind of like with you a little bit there, but what would he cost at this point?
He's the perfect fit right now, actually.
He is.
They need a guard.
Especially Mitchell Robinson out. I haven't played center.
Like, I thought Hartenstein.
United and it feels so good.
Like, I thought Ihart would be, like, a great stretch five. He hasn't really played, like, a stretch five. He's actually played good lately.
No.
But he's just been more like a bruiser, just, like, rebounding and doing the dirty work. But I thought he was, like, a three-point shooter, like a passer from the top, you know, like... I don't know. He hasn't.
That's what I thought too.
But I think that's Thibodeau. I just think that's coaching. I just think they haven't utilized him in that way.
Oh no!
Go rebound. That's my argument about the Knicks not getting Siakam, because they'll never trade Randall for him. So and Thibs isn't, like, he hates playing like stretch fives. Like, he likes a like traditional center all the time. That's why Sims plays a lot. Sims played good, but.
Right.
That's why I feel like Siakam, there's like no place on this Thibodeau team, coach team. But
also, congratulations to LeBron James for becoming the all-time leading scorer in the NBA.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, of course, yeah. That's what I was saying earlier. Cam Thomas eventually is next in line to break that.
Yeah.
So
38,000 points.
And I had to apologize.
38,000 points. You couldn't get two buckets in the fourth quarter for my parlay.
Oh, yeah.
I know
that's brutal.
That was brutal. I called him a cartoon LeBron, but
yeah.
I didn't realize how well he's been playing this year. And now, yeah. I didn't realize how close they are to the playoffs. I'm gonna switch it up completely. I think they come out the West with these trades now.
Ooh, spicy.
Okay. The West is wide open. I think they definitely improved their roster. And I think, yeah, I think LeBron, he's got the pressure off of that whole point thing. Maybe he just, I mean, he's been going off anyway. Like, he's incredible, man. Year 20, he's still putting up 27,
yeah.
7-7 or something. It's amazing, you know?
He's going to have that record, like you said, forever. And I think he still is going to play 3 years, probably at minimum.
I think, yeah. Or five more, maybe, right? Because Bronny.
For his son, yeah.
Well, he's got Bronny, too. Bryce. Yeah, Bryce, right? That's like 5 years from now. He, like, went through.
I did a little math before the pod.
Okay.
So if you average 20, if you play 18 and a half years, if you play 82 games every year, and then 41 for that half year, and you average 25 a game, over that entire span without missing one game, you're at 38,000 and you're still shy of LeBron.
Wow. Oh, yeah. My God.
So I don't think it's, especially in the load management era, I don't think that's ever going to be broken
you're right.
our lifetime.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, because LeBron, when he started out, it was like a different era. It was nuts. You know?
Yeah, these guys used to actually play basketball.
Yeah.
Wow, I sound like an old man.
No, I mean... You're right. Like, it's just like Russillo. I was listening to his pod earlier today. I was cracking up because he was talking about how, like, he was like doing the impression of, like, kind of like how the players talk. Like, hey, yo, let's like take Thursday off. You know, like, yo, you let's wear this outfit. You know, like they're just sitting on the bench. Like, yo, look at that shorty in the stands. Like, this is probably how they think. Like, it's just like, yeah, we'll take a night off here. You know, like, who cares. Like,
yeah,
it sucks, you know, especially for our fantasy teams. But this is what it is.
I'm looking at Twitter. It looks like the Blazers found out Josh Hart got traded like during the game. So like, because there's pictures, they're all like crowding around the phone, and then Damian like gives Josh Hart a big hug.
Oh, jeez.
it's like really weird. Yeah,
that's awkward. Is Josh
He's
Hart
good though? He's- He's an East Coast kid.
Yeah, yeah. Where's he from? I was just about to ask that.
He went to Villanova. So now we have three guys that are Villanova teammates.
No, I know.
He's like a Baltimore, D.C. guy.
Okay, he's one of those. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know we wanted, like, Dante in free agency. You know, get all the Nova guys here. Fuck it.
Yeah, Michael Bridges tweeted JB and Jay Hart with, like, a tear face.
Ooh.
So maybe we get Michael Bridges.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be a home run, my opinion.
He should have been a Nick already.
I know. Took fucking Knox. Ugh. Brutal. brutal. Oh, man. I feel like now, like, a lot of shit's going to happen. We'll see.
We're going to have an emergency pod.
Yeah. What would warrant an emergency pod? A Durant trade?
Durant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
We have to post two pods 2 days in a row. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
That would warrant something.
Around Friday, if you want to do a recap.
Or we could do that.
Yeah.
If the Knicks did something crazy, if the Knicks or Nets do something like crazy, yeah, that will warrant an emergency pod. Yeah. So we'll see. Anything else? Anything we didn't get to?
Choose.
Yeah, I just want to say welcome back to Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm excited.
Oh yeah, your guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Win Diddy. Dorian Finney-Smith. I've always liked him. Good player.
Yeah. Juice. You mentioned something about eggs.
Oh, I want to start the pod. It seems like this the shortage of eggs has stabilized. So now the prices will drop, and we're back in egg season, baby.
This is huge.
All right, sweet. So I can get eggs
I paid $9.99 for a dozen the other day.
No way. Where?
Yep. Whole Foods.
Oh, Whole Foods.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
But... still, saying, $10. Wow.
Yeah, ShopRite, I think the cheapest was like $5. Yeah.
They said Cartel was even snuggling eggs. No, for real though.
I believe
it's gonna go. It's gonna go back down. It's gonna stabilize.
All right.
Yeah, I ordered an egg sandwich the other day at the deli. I felt like a Rockefeller.
Yeah, pretty wild stuff. But yeah. Hopefully it stabilizes here.
It's on the menu for Super Bowl food.
I don't know.
The regular, the basics, wings, pizzas.
Yeah, probably wings, pizza, you know, the basics, maybe nachos. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy. So.
Me and Adam going to the city.
Should be fun.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some Casamigos on the menu.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you guys are going to get.
Yeah, so you guys are going, like, all out. Like, you guys are really blowing it out. That should be fun. Yeah, so you definitely need, like, a Monday off.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough one.
Yeah, I'm just staying home. I don't even think we're having people over. Very low key. Paul, I'm sure you're doing the.
For my parents, yeah.
Yeah. People over there. Is it actually gonna be a potty or just like the fam?
Nah, just a little like fam. Maybe a couple other people. That's it.
He should do it. He should do the Louis Super Bowl. Just like one more year. Just like blow it out. Just what like for good time for old time's sake. I'll tell my parents to come up.
If the Jets or Giants make it, 100%.
Jets for sure. Yeah, Jets. Oh, man. I always think about this, right? If the Jets are in the Super Bowl, like, how would I watch that?
I don't think people would want to be around me.
Honestly. Yeah, like, do I want to watch that with people? Like, I don't know.
I think I'd want to be, like, locked up by myself.
I want to be in the darkness. I'd want to be in the darkness with Rodgers. You know, it's just like
or just Jeff fans. That's it. Yeah.
No, 100%. Just around Jeff fans. Yeah. Paul, we'd have to watch. I'd tell Mikey come up. Yeah.
Josh and Adam, they could come. They're good.
Yeah, Juice has watched some historic Jet games with us. So.
Yeah. Some hard. Yeah,
I'll root for the Jets as long as the Giants aren't playing.
Yeah.
See.
Did Juice hop off?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Cooking eggs,
yeah. There you go. I'd say let's talk about The Last of Us, but I'm the only one watching it. So, never mind.
Yeah, I got to start that.
Yeah. Yeah. Catch up on that. Great show.
I'm watching Kyrie right now.
That's gay zombie sex, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm down four, but it might be good. I could just binge it now.
Oh, yeah. Four is a great binging number. Definitely.
But But I heard the fifth one's coming out on Friday because they didn't want to compete.
Correct. They didn't want to compete with the Super Bowl. So it's pretty cool.
All right, I'll check it.
Yeah, it's going to be 9 total episodes. So, yeah.
Why 9 and not 10? That's weird.
I know. I hate that. I hate that. I feel like HBO's done that a few times with some series. I feel like there was like a Succession season that was like 9 randomly, or I don't know. I've definitely like they've done that before, and it's like weird. I don't get it, but it's not TV; it's HBO.
Yep.
So
hello,
all right, guys.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Take care.
Peace.
Comb your hair.